You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome into a Wednesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. You can get Locked On Heat on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. Got a bunch of stuff to get to, just some Heat news, some Heat notes, things that we need to discuss, including if it's time for the Heat to ditch the zone defense, which didn't work really well in that Monday night game against Boston. The Heat, of course, play Boston again tonight. Should they ditch that zone for this game and going forward into the playoffs? And do the Heat need to sign somebody with all the injuries that they're dealing with right now? We'll talk about maybe some free agents that are out there and available for the Heat to sign. But let's start with this Juwan Howard news, David, because these we're now seeing that, according to Vegas, Juwan Howard, the Miami Heat's assistant coach, out of nowhere is now the favorite to become the new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. He is the odds-on, the betting favorite to become. And look, there's some history there. Obviously, Juwan Howard, LeBron James played together on those big three Heat teams. Is that really just what it is?
I think that's a big part of it. I think it also kind of fits a model that LeBron might prefer as far as, Ty Lue, not necessarily being a coach that he handpicked, but I'm sure that he probably had some input with the Cavaliers front office as far as who he would have preferred as a coach over David Blatt. Remember, they had hired David Blatt before LeBron signed as a free agent there, so that wasn't really his decision. They went to the finals that first year, even with Blatt, but at some point during the second season, things fell apart and they couldn't communicate. So I'm sure LeBron feels a very strong comfort with Juwan Howard. I mean, they've talked even since LeBron left Miami. They've always had some kind of, back and forth chattering along the sidelines there. I think there's a connection there. I think it's also representative of the fact that the Lakers front office is a little weak and easily influenced, especially by a personality as large as LeBron and LeBron's representation. Mm-hmm. So they can be told into, they can be goaded into doing whatever it is that LeBron feels comfortable with. And I think that kind of applies to Juwan as well. Luke had experience coaching superstar players, albeit much more humble and perhaps slightly less egomaniacal superstar players in Golden State. He had experience that way. He's obviously been a player himself, had a long career. He's coached this Lakers organization for a number of years before LeBron came into it. So it's, I think with Juwan taking his first real head coaching position, he's going to be, questioning a lot of what he does. I mean, he might be comfortable being an assistant coach right now. We saw him up close as the head coach of the Summer League team a couple of years ago. And even in that role, you're kind of figuring your way out. He's been an assistant coach for 6 years now. But at the same time, it's not easy to be head coach, to have the kind of daily media responsibilities, to have to go and make appearances on behalf of the team. Does he really want to
especially...
Go ahead.
Especially because if he goes to the Lakers, right, they're probably saying, all right, well, not only does Juwan Howard and LeBron have this relationship, but Juwan Howard's coming from the Heat, and he can sort of, and we know that Magic Johnson, admires Pat Riley and the culture that he's built there, and Magic probably wants to build some sort of culture with the Lakers. Like, we could say that's probably the intent there. Now, the way he's going about it is completely wrong, and he's failing at every single level of it. Yeah. But we could also imagine he wants to build that too, right? Because, of course he does. Does he view Juwan Howard as almost like that, a means to that end? And that's a lot of pressure on Juwan Howard, especially given how dysfunctional that front office is. I mean, right. Magic Johnson has no idea how to build a roster in 2018 or 2019 or however long he's going to stay here. Rob Pelinka is a first-time GM and seems to be the quietest voice in the room. That also includes Jeannie Buss. And the jury's still kind of out on her, and based on what she's done this year, it hasn't been that she hasn't done a great job. So, if you're Juwan Howard, you're walking into that, you're kind of bracketed between this front office that doesn't really know what's going on, and then this LeBron James controlled locker room, and a bunch of young guys that may or may not be there who you have to coach up because Juwan is very much a developmental guy too. Right. That's at least his role in the Heat. So, like, that's a really overwhelming situation. Still, he's the favorite over a guy like Tyronn Lue, who won a championship.
Played in Los Angeles.
Credit you want to give him. Played in L.A., and he had been the favorite for a long time. Luke Walton is still, you know, one of the top three as far as odds go. Then there's guys like Jason Kidd, and then other players. Jerry Stackhouse, Derek Fisher, Mark Jackson's on there. Brian Shaw is on there. Sam Cassell
I like the Stackhouse
is on
choice.
There.
I like the Stackhouse choice because he's had head coaching experience with the Toronto Raptors G League team, the 905, guided them to a championship there. He strikes me as a player who is ready for that responsibility. He's got a lot of honestly, he is one bad dude. He is one of those guys that you don't mess with in that locker room. He didn't take a lot of crap from anybody as a player, and he doesn't take it as a coach. He's not going to put up with LeBron's nonsense. I think he can put LeBron in his place, put everybody else on that roster in his place, and get the most out of it. He would be my choice if I was building the team.
Hmm.
But
I like that. But 10 to 1 odds on Jerry Stackhouse right now. Juwan Howard, by the way, 4 to 1 odds.
Yeah, I just for Juwan. Look, I know the long preached adage is there's only 30 jobs, so when they come up, you take it no matter what. Worst case scenario, he bombs, he's still going to get paid out for his contract, and he's still going to make a lot of money, which is great. But that kind of reflects on the kind of person that you are. Like, I mean, David Fizdale had opportunities before, kind of hung back, then saw that mm-hmm. Memphis job open up, and he took the advice of Spoelstra and Riley and others and said, this is your opportunity to make the most of it. Didn't work out for him, mostly because of Marcus Hall. But now he's coaching the Knicks, and he loves that position there. He's being criticized routinely for it. It's not easy. You're going to get crap no matter where you go as a head coach.
Yes.
You know, if he goes to the Lakers, if Juwan goes to the Lakers and they acquire Anthony Davis, he's going to look like a great coach. But the reality is they don't have Davis on the roster right now. They've got young guys there. Maybe that's part of the appeal, though. You can help develop them, kind of help get their confidence up, kind of counterbalance LeBron's lack of mentoring ability there. He's just not that kind of guy because he's as good as he is. And there's also needs to be a certain fit as far as these players are concerned. They're not great shooters. They're more playmakers than anything else.
Well, that's the other thing is like if you're Juwan Howard, you're like, all right, well, how are you remaking the team? Because I don't want to coach this team because this team sucks.
Right.
Like I know what works. I've played with LeBron. I know that you need to put LeBron in the middle of everything and surround him with shooters. Are you going to do that or not? Because if not, I don't want to be here because I'm going to just end up like Luke Walton on the street in a year looking for a new job, right? And why would I give up a really good situation in Miami that I have right now? So, like Luke Walton gave up a great situation in Golden State, but he had no idea LeBron was showing up. He joined the Lakers for Lonzo Ball, not even Lonzo Ball, D'Angelo Russell, really. And a bunch of young guys that he wanted to sort of raise up from the ground level, and then all of a sudden, you know, that window kind of gets sped up, and the pressure is on, and he looks like he's going to be out of a job by the end of the year. And then the other part of this too, right? And you got to think about this: if you're Juwan Howard, best case scenario is that you win a championship with LeBron, right? Which does not seem like as likely as it did when LeBron came to Miami and when LeBron went back to Cleveland. Like, the odds are not as strong for LeBron winning another title. But best case scenario is you do. And then LeBron eventually leaves when his contract is up in another 3 years or he retires or whatever. And then you're probably fired after that. Because that's been historically what happened. That happened to Ty Lue. It didn't happen to Spoelstra. But that's more on the infrastructure. Like, credit Spoelstra, credit the infrastructure. But, like, you're probably fired because historically that has happened with coaches who have coached star players who have led teams to titles. When that star player leaves and you have that disappointing season that is going to happen when the star player leaves, you get canned. And so if you're Juwan Howard, if you want to find a job for the long run, the Lakers job is not what you want, right? Now, if you want to find a job where you have a chance at winning a championship as the head coach, well, then it's a great play because the Warriors job isn't opening up any soon. You know what I mean? Like, the other jobs aren't opening up. Like, if you're looking for a job where you can realistically win a title, the Lakers one might be the only one, well, at least for the next couple of years. So it would be a tough decision if I was Juwan Howard.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's no easy choice there. I mean, he can go and take a chance and see. You know, I think as a player, too, that's another thing. I mean, the reality is their confidence is so astronomical, or else they wouldn't get to this point, that they're almost willing always to bet on themselves and say, you know what, I'll find a way to make it work. If he gets offered the job, I'm sure he'll take it because, again, yeah. I think that's just – it's too rare an opportunity. You have to try it. You have to see whether or not you're cut out for it. And like you said, the worst-case scenario, if you do get fired, you know, down the road, you'll probably be part of that coaching carousel. Your name will come up again down the road. I mean,
true.
Keith Smart was blasted for his tenure in Golden State, or was it Sacramento? I can't remember now, or may have been both. And he got another opportunity. That's the whole thing. I think you get opportunities. And then he wound up being an assistant to Eric Spoelstra here. So he'll get an opportunity one way or the other. So if Juwan gets offered the job, I'm sure he'll take it.
Is it time for the Heat to ditch their zone defense in time for their playoff run? We'll talk about that next. But first, remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On Heat on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists. If you use Spotify and how they give you like your daily mixes and they sort of give you recommendations, sort of the same idea here. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Heat. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. 1080p, full HD, images so clear that you won't miss a thing. Wyze's mission is to create amazing smart home products that are available and affordable to everyone. Check on your home anytime with the Wyze app live stream. Best of all, Wyze provides free rolling 14-day cloud storage, and without any subscription, nothing is too small for Wyze Cam to watch, because at $20 a camera, you can do anything. Left your kids at home? Watch them destroy your house. For whatever reason you need it, Wyze can make you wiser. And for just $10 more, Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your camera should, too. Patrol your home with Pan Scan. Set the camera's patrol route with up to 4 custom waypoints. Track the action. Wyze Cam Pan automatically detects tags and tracks motion within its field of view. Keeping up with life in real time has never been this easy. Plus, Wyze works with Alexa and is accessible on your mobile phone from anywhere. Go to wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. That's wyze.com, wyze/locked. So the Heat have used the zone defense more than any other team in the league this season. They've won a bunch of games because of the zone defense. They kind of took teams by surprise earlier in the season using the zone. We've seen new wrinkles added to the zone, David. Things like getting into that zone at half court, or like going man-to-man and then like shifting into a zone, like man-to-man, like full-court press and then shifting into a zone in the half-court. We've seen Spoelstra play his guards in the corners and play big guys like Derrick Jones Jr. and James Johnson up at the point of attack of the zone to add a little bit more length and longer arms to kind of bother guards and bother that ball movement. So we've seen the zone, again, evolve over the course of the season, but it doesn't seem to be as effective as it has been. Now, maybe a lot of that is because of the injuries. Richardson and Winslow specifically have been out for a while, and so that's hurt the defense. But there's a little bit of noise here, and I've voiced this concern too. Like, the zone defense in the playoffs, I don't think would be as viable as it was during the regular season. But let's talk about these next couple of games of the regular season here. Do you think the Heat need to come off the zone a little bit? Because Kyrie Irving in Boston the other night did a really nice job carving it up, and it kind of seemed like the Heat stuck with it a little too long.
Yeah, I think that's fair as far as using it a little bit too long against Boston. But if you look at a couple games down the road here, Minnesota in particular, Philadelphia, and maybe even to some extent Brooklyn, I think those are games where you can break out the zone and have breaking out the zone effectively, and it'll work to your advantage. You know, they've played Toronto on April 7th, and that's a team that absolutely destroyed Miami when they went zone last time they played, because of their exceptional passing ability and their incredible long-range shooting. And you know, that's something that you have to consider when you go into the playoffs. I mean, venture a guess what team shoots the second most three-pointers in the NBA to Houston Rockets, obviously.
Denver?
Nope, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, I should have assumed that because you said Eastern Conference.
Right, so... Okay. They shoot almost, over 38 threes per game. They don't hit them at a great rate, obviously, because there's some, not some great shooters on there, but they take a lot of threes, that spaces the floor, it makes the zone less effective. And so, obviously, Milwaukee's had Miami's number, with the exception of one game that we went through in December, which is still something I'm hanging my hat on as far as being the norm and not the exception, but I might be wrong in that count.
Well, look, Spo has used the zone as a means to get to the playoffs, right? And you got to give them credit. Like, yeah, you're surprising a bunch of teams now with this zone defense during the regular season when scouting isn't up to snuff all the time and things like that. But in the playoff, in a playoff series, I just think that there's too many ways to break the zone. I think there's too many ways for an opposing offense to just sort of figure it out. Maybe you can get it to work for a game, maybe two games, if you add enough wrinkles to it that confuse the other team. But a coach like Budenholzer, he'll figure it out. He can figure it out by halftime, and he'll figure it out going into that game. Like, it's not the Heat have played the Bucks four times this year. It's not like the zone is going to surprise him, right? So, I just don't see it. But again, I see it as a, like you said, based on matchups, and Spo has used it based on matchups for all season long. I mean, so based on matchups, yeah, you can use it in the regular season, and maybe that helps you get into the postseason. I don't think that will. I think we'll see it a little bit. Because it's just sort of part of the team's identity at this point, but I don't think we'll see it as much as people are worried about. I just, again, I don't think it's viable in the postseason. But against the Celtics, I will say this, you know, when you've got as many injuries as you did, like, who's guarding Kyrie Irving man-to-man on that team? It's not Deion Waiters, it's not Goran Dragic, it's not Dwayne Wade. Those are all of the guards, right? Like, you don't have Winslow available, you didn't have Richardson available, and so you had to play this front last couple games that you'd have had to play like these super big lineups with James Johnson, Kelly Olynyk, and then one of Whiteside or Adebayo. Like, those are really big lineups that you kind of have, like, and I understand going to the zone with that, get those long arms in passing lanes and do it that way, as opposed to asking like Kelly Olynyk and James Johnson to choose shooters or to chase shooters all around screens and stuff like that, like out on the perimeter. That's not going to work. So I get it's sort of just out of necessity at this point. So I think once they start getting guys back, specifically Richard and Sid and Winslow, who can guard guys man-to-man, you'll start seeing a little bit less of that zone.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to rely on it 100%, but, you know, on occasions, and when it does, you know, prove effective, you use it. And I think that's been the case all season long, and hopefully that will be the case moving forward.
Do the Heat need to sign somebody to fill up some of these injured rotation spots? We'll talk about that after the break. The Heat are dealing with a bunch of injuries. They have two open roster spots right now that they've been basically filling with 10-day contracts and stuff like that. Non-contributors, David, guys who aren't really going to crack the rotation or really help in any way. We've seen the Heat in past seasons make late season additions and even really late season additions. Again, they've got the open roster spots. Should they consider signing somebody? The name, obviously, that's out there is Carmelo Anthony. We've shot that down 1,000 times. We could spend time shooting it down again, but I don't really see the point. Do you think that they should explore at least signing someone?
No, I don't at this point. I think it's too late in the season. You're not going to get much of a realistic contribution out of them. I mean, at best, you're going to have one of these scenarios, and I can't recall the player's name, like a guy who signed a 10-day contract with the Utah Jazz a number of years ago and then hit like a game winner for them. I can't remember what his name is.
I have no idea who you're talking about. I don't remember that at all.
It was just a big moment there. Like, Corey Brewer had a positive impact on a Philadelphia team that was already pretty solid. I don't think that's that's not the case here. Like, they need somebody, and there's nobody available. I mean, Carmelo is not that guy. Again, probably not worth getting into it. Like, his defense is a problem, and if Miami's defense is going to be an issue, and then Carmelo only makes that worse. I can't really think that his offense is going to be significantly better. It's going to take time for him to adjust to a new team, the personalities, etc. I don't think
he's the opposite of a guy you sign 6 games before the playoffs start. Yeah, you need time to figure that out if it'll ever work. And in the last 2 stops, it hasn't worked. So, Darrell Wright, the Heat signed him right before that playoff series where they played Toronto in the second round, right? They beat Charlotte in the first round. They signed him right before the postseason, right?
In 2016? Yeah, 15, yeah.
Didn't they?
I honestly do not remember that happening. If you're going to look down that road, there's a little guy by the name of Mario Chalmers, right? Isn't he available? Or did he play? Ooh. Isn't he playing in China now? I think he might have been playing elsewhere. I don't know.
Well, he'll take a flight over, you know, can't he? I don't know how those contracts work. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Darrell Wright's not an option. The guy's been out of the league for a couple of years. But guys who have had Heat experience, DeAndre Liggins is out there. Like, look, none of these names are going to just blow you away. You're like, oh, that guy's available? Cool. Like, why wasn't he signed yet? So it's guys like DeAndre Liggins, who's, you know, had a cup of coffee with the Heat, played a little bit with the Cavs. He's 30 years old now. Kind of like this tweener swingman type body. He's a person. He's out there. He's played in the NBA before. Marcus Georges Hunt, again, guy who had a cup of coffee with the Heat a little bit, has bounced around the league at a couple places. Orlando, I think he had spent some time in Minnesota. You know, you want guys that have that NBA experience, because the easy way would just be, all right, call somebody up from Sioux Falls. Well, they already have Duncan Robinson, they already have Yante Mayton, and those guys look very raw because they haven't played in the NBA. So you kind of want guys who have done it a little bit. Luke Babbitt?
Ooh.
The return of Babbitt? Like, is that a thing?
I mean, theoretically, adding a three-point shooter to the roster, one who's familiar with the system, the players, the coaching. I mean, I would think that you add Babbitt specifically because, well, I mean, Kelly Olynyk gets hurt. You know, that's the only reason why you would consider, because you've already got Ryan Anderson, who I think is in better shape and probably just as good as Babbitt, if not better. So, I mean, I don't see any reason why you'd add Babbitt to the roster. You need somebody who's more of an athletic perimeter defender, and that ain't Babbitt, that's for sure.
Yeah, and again, there's not a whole lot of guys out there. I think you go back, DeAndre Liggins is sort of whatever, for whatever reason, I'm like looking through available guys, and he's the name that sticks out to me. But again, I don't see.
You got Yanni if Mason I had to guess. There, you know, I mean, he's a guy who can defend, who's familiar, who's been playing recently, and has been with the team all year long. He's not getting any minutes. It's not like anybody that you pick up off the bench is going to be like a 5 to 10 minute contributor.
And at this point, like the only reason you would do it is like, okay, if one more guy gets hurt, we're basically screwed. I don't see it happening again. There's luxury tax implications that the Heat have to think about. And for a lot of those reasons, I don't see it happening, but that's sort of where the Heat are now. The Heat play the Boston Celtics in Miami tonight as this playoff chase continues. We'll have a recap for you tomorrow, but for now, thanks for listening. And remember that you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat. Connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us on LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for spending some time with us today. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Wrap it up, B.